The New York Knicks are one win away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since the 99-2000 season. We're going to break down everything in this episode, including a Game 6 preview. Also got an OG Anunoby update and, of course, our famous trivia at the end. Let's do it.
Let's run that intro.
Basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game.
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What is going on, Knicks Nation? We are back doing another podcast episode. This is episode 53 of the Knicks Nation podcast, talking over that amazing Game 5 finish in Madison Square Garden. The New York Knicks now lead the series 3-2. Like I said, they are one win away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics wrapped up their series against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So Game 6 is at 8:30 on Friday. So, Chris, one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Can you feel it?
I just got chills, man. One win away. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I still remember months ago when we would say, hey, we think this team could get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And we're one game away, considering everything we've been through as a team this season. It's amazing, man. I feel great, man. How are you feeling?
Look, amazing. Game 5 was incredible. We were all wondering how the New York Knicks were going to respond after that blowout loss, in Indiana. And boy, did they respond. I mean, they fed off the home crowd. Jalen Brunson was amazing, who we'll talk about in a quick. But look, that's why you fight for home court advantage. That's why the New York Knicks got the 2 seed, because ultimately, you know, winning in Madison Square Garden, they've done a great job during these playoffs. They've only lost that one game. That crazy maxi shot was their only loss in Madison Square Garden. So now it's going back to Indiana, and that is a tough place to play. But I do think the Knicks will get it done in 6 games. I think you have Indiana second guessing. I think you have them kind of soulless right now. That's just my opinion.
I agree, man. I agree. Yeah. And I think Game 6, and this is my own opinion, you know, I'm not saying this is, you know, what's being thrown out there and whatnot, but I think Game 6 is a must win, you know, in my opinion. Granted, we still have home court advantage, but now that you gave the Pacers a dose of their own medicine, you know, they blew us out. We came right back and blew them out of MSG. So now, how are the Pacers going to react, you know? They don't have the resiliency that this team has proven to have over the season, like the New York Knicks. Mm-hmm. They're not that, you know? And what I loved about, you know, last night's game is that we finally started to go and get in people's faces. It was overdue. And I think come Game 6, man, look, the Pacers are either going to have to show up and play a hard-nosed game, or the Knicks, I think the Knicks are just going to take it, man.
Yeah, and look, the Knicks needed to be more physical, and Dante DiVincenzo set the tone, and Isaiah Hartenstein was setting the tone, and Dante brought up some comments at the end saying they're fake tough guys. They're trying to be tough. And seeing that physicality in Madison Square Garden, getting the crowd involved was absolutely incredible. But, Chris, I mean, it'll be crazy not to start off with number 11, Jalen Brunson, who just continues to play out of this world, out of his mind. He is a superstar. He is our MVP. Obviously, he finished top 5 in MVP voting. And look, Game 3 and Game 4, really where we were worried because of his foot injury, right? He wasn't really getting that much lift on his shot. A lot of people in the national media were saying that's because Naismith was locking him down. And was, at times, Naismith doing an okay job on Brunson? Yeah, but to me, and to a lot of Knicks fans, that wasn't really the case why Brunson was struggling. And he came out in Game 5 and just absolutely set the tone, demolished the Indiana Pacers crossed over like Nembhard and Naismith in the same game. He's just a stud. And he now has 5 40-point games in these playoffs. It's crazy. The only guards in NBA history with 5 or more 40-point games in a single postseason run. Jerry West, Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, and now Jalen Brunson.
Wow. That's a heck of company to have, you know, on that list. But yeah, man. Look, what more can we say about JB at this point in time, man? Like you mentioned, he's been banged up in this series. You know, there's no secret that his foot is hurting him. You know, he's hurt. He's hurt. We saw that. You know, the past few games he wasn't playing like himself, and even last night's game, he was still hurting. I was a little nervous. You know, I think he missed his first 2 or 3 shots in the game, and I was like, man, still doesn't look right. But he powered through it like you want your star player to do, right?
Yeah.
He put it all. He leaves it all on the court, man. And you gotta love that about JB, man. And I'm sorry, Neesmith. Look, he's probably the best defender they got on the Pacers. Yeah. And I get it, but you're talking about a JB who's not 100%, and maybe that makes him seem like he's stopping him. But come on, man. You know. If Kelly Oubre, who I believe is a better defender than Neesmith, is at this point in time, you know, if Jalen Brunson was able to deal with that, Neesmith is nothing, man.
Yeah.
And he showed it last night. I mean, whoever was in front of him, he was scoring.
Scoring in front of everybody. And what I loved is that he was attacking the rim a lot more. Even when McConnell was on him in game five. Brunson was backing him down in the mid post and just demolishing them. And what I loved is, obviously, to start game five, Chris, the Knicks made an adjustment. They started Deuce McBride. And I really thought that was like an awesome move. Obviously, the lineup of McBride, Brunson, the small lineup in the regular season did wonders for this team. I think they were like plus, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they were absolutely, you know, demolishing teams. And that lineup was the Precious lineup was good too, but the Deuce lineup was even better than that lineup. And what that allowed them to do was spread the floor. And yeah. I think he set like 26 picks in game five, and he's set in a game was like 8 or something like that. I heard that on the Windhorse podcast. So instead of having Hartenstein set the pick, you're having Deuce set the pick and kind of having Deuce's defender decide, like, should I stay with Brunson or should I leak out to Deuce? And Deuce, we've been wanting to see him get his offensive game involved. And boy, oh boy, do we need it. And that was a little bit of an underrated move from Tom Thibodeau. Credit the coaching staff. They've been making adjustments all playoff long. But Deuce, love Deuce, that, man.
Right, man.
I love that.
Yeah, you said it. I was just about to mention it. Credit to the coaching staff, because I'll be honest with you. When I heard, you know, they were about to tip the ball off and I heard, oh, Knicks with a, you know, new rotation here to start this game, I was like, oh, man. I didn't know how I felt about it at first because my concerns were Josh Hart against Pascal Siakam, you know? What we saw the previous game, I was like, you know, Siakam looks like he's able to shoot over Josh Hart easily.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I understood Precious doesn't really space the floor, and they're kind of just, even if he stands in the corner, they're just going to shrink the floor anyway and kind of ignore him there. So, look, credit to Tibbs and the coaching staff. They put Deuce in there, and man, oh, man, did it pay out. What an adjustment, because we all know we ran the Pacers out of MSG.
They were shook. They were for sure shook. They didn't want no part of MSG, and that's why I feel confident going into game six, especially having a couple of more days off here. That bodes well for the Knicks rather than the Pacers. Pacers are, you know, like a fresher team, if you want to say that. They're more deeper. I wouldn't say they're a fresher team. Their bench has been playing well for them, didn't in game five. But I thought this was funny from Austin Rivers. Halliburton, he's the one who got that nod over Jalen Brunson for the Olympics, right? And he says it hasn't even been close throughout this series. And quite frankly, it hasn't been close throughout this playoffs. So it's a shame, but
look, I mean,
whatever.
I think in the fourth quarter of game five, right? I think Halliburton scored nothing. He was nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Hell, Jericho Sims scored more than Halliburton. Jericho Sims. Come on. Come on. I mean, look, JB is awesome. Look, Halliburton, don't get me wrong. He's a good player. He's a great player. For whatever reason, he's just not Jalen Brunson, you know? He's just not trying to will his team to the finish line. He's not taking over games. Basically everything you want at this point in time from your star player. You know, lead us. Put us on your shoulders if you have to. And look, I'm sorry. Look, you know, I'm just going off by what I'm seeing. Halliburton's not there yet. And JB is. Simple as that.
Yes, sir. I'm sure they're regretting that move. But hey, it is what it is. JB obviously takes it, you know, bottles it up. He remembers everything and provides greatness on the court. But yeah, Chris, so in game five, what I noticed is that they were attacking a lot more. Points in the paint. The Knicks demolished the Pacers. The Deuce McBride pick and roll actions, they were, you know, hammering the Pacers all night long. The thing about the Pacers is they play okay in terms of like on-ball defense, but when it's time to like switch or play team defense, they don't know what to do. And the Knicks confused them. And I don't think they were ready for that Deuce McBride inserted into the starting lineup in game five. So like we said, credit to the coaching staff as well, but freaking Isaiah Hartenstein.
continues to
dominate. Almost had the same amount of offensive rebounds as the Pacers' entire team.
That's insane.
And I think breaking news, I think Isaiah Hartenstein just grabbed another offensive rebound. As we were recording this, I think Hartenstein just grabbed another rebound.
He's been amazing. And I was being really rough on him on game five, man. I was texting back and forth for you, and I was pissed off when, you know, he gave up that back-to-back-to-back triples to Turner.
Start the second half, yeah.
Yeah, that was brutal. But, man, you know, iHeart, what can you say about iHeart as well, man? You know, look, he's been holding it down for majority of the season with Mitch basically in and out of that lineup. And he's basically all we got in the center position. And, man, he almost single-handedly out-rebounded the entirety of the Pacers by himself. Which is insane, man.
He just wanted them more. Out-hustled them. Just ultimate team effort in game five. Hit some of these comments. Appreciate every single one of you in here joining us tonight, recording a Knicks Nation podcast episode. Just Knicks says salute. Salute, Just Knicks. Lynette says, so proud of how everyone stepped up. Burks shocked everyone. Yes, we're going to talk about Alex Burks in a bit as well. Walter says, salute. Let's go, Knicks. Let's close it out in Indiana. Shoquan says Celtics is officially waiting for us in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Boston Celtics have had like the easiest road to the Eastern Conference Finals. And obviously we'll talk about that when we get there. But yeah, they're waiting for us. And we just have to wait and see how that transpires. But that should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, job is not done. I'm still focused on the Pacers. We need to get this game six and close them out.
Rasta in the chat says, Alec Burks is the man. Tyler, what's going on, Tyler? Appreciate you in here. But yeah, Chris, Alec Burks, man. I mean, talk about him. Please, talk about him.
I mean, what can I say about Alec Burks, right? Everybody thought he was a dead man walking, right? No longer had it. Slow, can't guard nobody. Look, man, you want to talk about being a professional, staying ready. Basically everything that Tibbs talks about, right? When guys go on the bench, it's stay ready, be ready for when you're needed. And that's what Alec Burks did. Not only just, we're not talking about a regular season game. He's getting thrown in mid-playoff series.
To the fire.
And producing, man. Come on. Look at that. 17.3 points per game. 4.7 rebounds per game. I mean, come on. And in game five, hit some big baskets for us. And that corner three, his bread and butter starting to go down. That's a weapon. That's a weapon that will come in handy. Because when we lost Bogdanovich, that was a big blow. And Burks is now filling that role. Not even just for the offense, but just the fact that you have another body now that you can throw out there and give some guys some rest. That's huge, man. Shout out to Alex Burks. Big shot AB.
Big back money AB. Like Tyler says, my boy back. AB. Look, Tyler says, I never gave up hope. Look, there was like, I'm not going to lie to you. I gave up hope. Like, I was just like, Burks, he hasn't been playing well. But look, he definitely has been incredible. His last three games, 17 points, 4.5 rebounds, 73.3 true shooting percentage. And I thought the big shot that he hit in game five was when the Pacers went on that little, when Miles Turner hit those back-to-back-to-back threes.
Yep.
And I think Burks came in and hit a corner three, kind of like.
That was huge.
It's huge. Like little things like that. It's just, like you said, that extra body now that OG Anunoby has been out and it's looking like OG Anunoby is going to be out game six. We'll talk about Anunoby later on in the pod. But yeah, I mean, for this guy to come into high stakes situation, a playoff atmosphere, Tom Thibodeau said it in his post game. It's just a testament to how professional he is. I mean, stayed ready, veteran presence, and he's looking like Alec Burks from a few years ago, like he was on the Knicks. Detroit Alec Burks, when he was dropping 30 plus points, we were all like, where is that Alec Burks? But yeah, especially you need as much scoring as possible versus Pacer team. And like we would, like I said, Bogdanovich would have been huge this series, but for Burks to come in and just provide this and provide leadership and physicality too. You saw him in the scuffle with Hartenstein and Isaiah Jackson, and Burks was like, bro, come on now. You're not like that, bro. You're not like that. I love it, man. Shout out to AB, man. Playing his butt off these last few games. Incredible.
AB, he's huge, and he's going to be huge, you know, in this series going forward. You know, look, I'm happy he's out there, and he's shooting the ball well. But look, he's also grabbing boards, man. In game five, he had 5 rebounds. And his defense was not that bad. You know, he was staying in front of guys, being physical, not letting them just get by. Look, this was the Alec Burks we thought we were going to get from Detroit when he came over. It took him a while, longer than we all probably wanted. But here he is when we needed him the most, in the most important moments. Alec Burks, ladies and gentlemen.
Big money AB, man. The thing is, like, the chemistry-wise, too, you would think, like, a player that hasn't been playing for a while would kind of be rusty with the guys. But it's just the culture, right? We speak about it a lot. We speak about it a lot about this Knicks team is, even though the guys that are not playing, still staying late, still obviously have great chemistry with the guys. And Burks hasn't played in a while. And for him to do this is crazy. Like, that doesn't happen often. Like, he wasn't even rusty down in Indiana. He was lighting them up. I know we lost. I know we lost 2 games in Indiana, but still. I thought he was big in game 5. And, yeah. Shout out to AB.
Love that. Yeah, I mean, it goes hand in hand with what the Knicks are building, right? It's that culture, you know? AB doesn't hit that court in the playoffs and play the way he did if he wasn't staying ready. And that's in part to the coaching staff and everybody putting in the work, everybody buying into what Tibbs is preaching, man. And it's beautiful to see, man.
Tyler says, if OG is able to come back, AB will be huge to get the rotation players a rest. We're looking at going 8 deep again. Yeah, I mean, that would be absolutely huge, especially when OG and OB – when he will come back, I think, you know, he will be limited due to like his hamstring injury. They're not going to throw him out there and play like 30, 40 minutes a game. So even with that, you know, now we have Burks, another guy to score, another guy to, you know, really handle the ball too, you know. Well, what we've seen from the Pacers is their full court press all game long. I mean, they're trying to make it hard on Brunson. they're even the inbounding the ball. I mean, some at times the Knicks still struggle inbounding the ball, and I'm just like, still, it just makes me want to pull my hair out. That's one little thing that I hate to see, is like turnovers off an inbound play. But yeah, it happened once with Deuce in game 5, but I was like, all right, it is what it is.
Yeah, man, that just bothers me too.
It bothers me, but
for whatever reason, you see every other team just inbound, no problem, whatever. Yeah. You know, for some reason, the Knicks just
struggle.
I don't know. They just make you just sit at the edge of your seat every damn inbound play. But the Pacers, man, like you said, picking up Brunson full court. One thing I did notice, if it's not Brunson catching the ball, they kind of don't even do the full court press. They kind of just let the guys come up. If Deuce gets the ball, they let him come up. If it's Hart, they kind of back off, let him come up. It's only Brunson that I noticed they're really pushing hard.
They're trying to make him work.
Yep. And I think that's, you know, even more reason why you want Deuce McBride out there, right? And that starting rotation. Just get that burning off of Brunson. Bring the ball down and have some time to actually run a play. Because when Brunson's bringing that ball up, it's body after body after body. Next thing you know, 10 seconds are off the clock, another 5, and then you're rushing to get a quick shot. So, again, I think that was another big adjustment and a big reason why Deuce McBride is now in that starting lineup.
Yes, sir. I want to get my facts straight. So, okay, Deuce McBride set 23 picks in game 5 to get the Nembhard matchup on Jalen Brunson. The most Deuce McBride has ever set in a game was 8 picks. So, former Puffball player was out there just bodying the Pacers up, sending them picks, hitting his open threes. Brunson made a nice behind the back pass to him too in game 5. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Into a 3.
So, yeah, more of the same in game 6. Obviously, the team, get this, Chris, the winner of game 5 goes on to win the series 82%. Of the time. Knicks only need one out of these next 2 games. Pacers need both of them. All the pressure is on Indiana right now.
Yeah.
They're a tough place. It's a tough place to play down in Indiana. But from what we saw in game 5, they look shook. Maybe they're shipping the cars home already. I don't know. Maybe they kind of have the Cancun vibes in their head. Maybe they're kind of like, do we really want to go back to New York and deal with that MSG crowd? I really don't. I really want to just enjoy your weekend, Indiana. Enjoy your summer, right? Because you know what's going to happen either way. So.
Hey, man, look, I know they don't want to come back to MSG because they were clearly, clearly rattled. And look, I know people say, oh, home court advantage, how much can a crowd actually, like, do for you? Look, man, as far as I'm concerned, MSG was rocking so much that they won the Knicks that game. That's how I felt, man. They were going crazy, cheering them, even in the lows. Like when Miles Turner hit those 3 back-to-back threes, the garden got quiet, but boom, nervous. Right again, they started cheering again, especially when Burks hit that shot. Right back to it, man. And look, I think it's a total, it's something being down 2-0. You know you still got games that to play. You're not going to face elimination or anything like that. So with the Pacers now down 3-2, come on, man. That's more pressure on them. Not only do they have to show out in front of their home crowd, but there's got to be that added pressure too that, hey, if we lose, we're losing this in front of our home crowd. We're going to disappoint them. They're going to be tight, man. They're going to be tight. And it's just, you know, look, the Knicks have all the advantage here. And that's why I think game 6, especially how things played out in game 5, is a must win. You got to take advantage of the momentum you built. And the Pacers, they're going to have a dogfight ahead of them, man. We're going to see. We're going to see.
Why are you saying game 6 is a must for you?
I just say must win just because we get those 2 days of extra rest. We're going to be rested.
That is true because the Knicks, I'm not sure when the Eastern Conference Finals will start. I'm not sure if it'll start Sunday. Like, if the Knicks were to wrap this up on Friday, I'm not 100% sure that it will start on Sunday, maybe Monday, but that it all depends on the Denver game, too, Denver-Minnesota series. But yeah, the Knicks could be thinking about that too, because remember, in the first series versus the Philadelphia 76ers, Knicks were thinking about that. They didn't want to come back to New York and play an extra game. They wanted more rest. So you're going to see a Knicks team that is going to be focused in game six and is going to want that extra rest in game six.
Yeah.
OG Anunoby has kind of, I think he's been already semi ruled out for game six. If not, that's official. But would you kind of play with the idea of, like, if Anunoby is maybe he can play, right? If Anunoby can, like, play 15 to 20 minutes, would you kind of save him, risk it and save him until the Eastern Conference Finals? Because, like you said, if we lose both of these games, then it's no more season for the Knicks. But that's not, like, obviously we're not predicting that. Or would you, like, if the Knicks lose on Friday and there's a game seven in the Garden, would you unleash Anunoby? Even if he's 50, not 100%, not 100%. Because then it's do or die. Or do you just say, you know what, we'll just wait until the Eastern Conference Finals for Anunoby?
I have a feeling he's going to be ruled out for game six. I actually was hoping he'd be back. I know they mentioned they had a bit of an update on him as far as not being in the pool, but I think if it comes to a game seven, you're definitely going to roll with OG Anunoby, even if it's just a couple minutes here and there. Maybe they just limit him to, what, 10, 15 minutes or something like that. Maybe even that's too much.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the thing that sucks is that he has that hamstring issue, and the Pacers are a team that runs. You know, the pace never really slows down, so that kind of plays against it all. But I think if it boils down to game seven and we need him, I think he'll be out there, man.
Yeah.
I think he'll be out there, you know, especially with all the news surrounding him, that stigma that he doesn't like to play, hurt, and whatnot. I think that's a trend that he's trying to, you know, he's trying to buck that trend. So you could see him out there, even if it's for 5 or 10 minutes.
Tyler in the chat, this is why, you know, Tyler, man, appreciate you. He says, I think they said the Eastern Conference Finals will start on Sunday if the Knicks win Friday, and Tuesday if the series goes seven. And then he said they said that on the Celtics and Cavs broadcast. So if this series goes seven games and the Knicks were to win in seven, that essentially buys OG Anunoby an extra few days to rest up until the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
But if they win Friday, which we're expecting, Knicks in six, let's preach it, and it's going to happen, then obviously the series will start on Sunday. Such a quick turnaround. Like, that is crazy. What is up with these every other day, especially,
you know,
the Knicks would have to go to from Indiana, travel. Obviously, it's not really a long travel to Boston. It's a Amtrak train ride. But, like, come on. I know the NBA wants to condense everything, but that's crazy.
You know, it's funny, though, with the 76ers series, though, it was kind of the opposite. We had some days in between and all that, and I felt like I took that person. I was like, man, they're really trying to give Joel Embiid all the rest he can get.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a reason why I think going back to the Pacers series, you know, that's why I want game six so much, you know? Because let's say Pacers pull out game six, and I think there's only one day in between that, and then it's boom, game seven. So if I'm the Knicks, you know, obviously we have less bodies than the Pacers do. You know, I'm taking these next 2 days resting up, and come game six,
Focused.
And look, and you saw it at the end, like, you want to see a comparison about from the Knicks versus Pacers. At the end of game five, the Knicks looked focused. They just blew out the Pacers by 30 points, and you wouldn't be able to tell it if you looked at their bench. They were giving high fives, you know, dapping everybody up and all that, but you ain't see nobody dancing. You ain't see nobody, you know, going crazy like they won the championship like the Pacers did in game four. You saw a Knicks team that looked like they were, like, still pissed off that they got blown out that game, and they're like, Start game six right now. We're ready.
Come on. Job ain't done. That's their mentality. Pacers want to showboat. Halliburton wants to do this. He can't guard me. Yep. Siakam wants to, you know, talk crap to Brunson after the game. Okay.
It's like a long series. It's a long series.
It's a long series. Brunson dominated them in game five. Expect more of that in game six. And, yeah, I mean, I saw that. I noticed that, too. Like, serious face. Like, yeah, we just beat you by 30 points. But, like Brunson said in his post game, I mean, it's on to the next. It's first to four. Job ain't finished yet. But, yeah, that is a quick turnaround. Like, for the Knicks to go from Indiana to Boston and play Boston in a couple of days, that's a quick turnaround. And Boston will have a few days off from the Eastern Conference Finals. So, look, I get it. The NBA wants to wrap things up quickly here. They don't want to prolong things. But, you know, it is a quick turnaround. Tony says Knicks will win game six for sure, 108-99. He's bringing out the predictions in here. Dante will have 28 and Brunson will have 42. Tony, did you go to your crystal ball or? Oh, man. If that happens, we got to come back to Tony, man.
What about to put some money on it?
Yo, if the Knicks, if that's the final score, I got to get the lotto numbers from Tony. Shoot. John says there's levels to this. Pacers are corny. Somebody else says, I think somebody else says, let's not get too confident. Joel says, let's not get too confident, but always stay positive. Yeah, that's what we've been doing. Like, picture. The picture is obviously what you want to do is get to the Eastern Conference Finals. First time that's happened since 1999 and 2000 season. It's crazy. But you want to get this next game. And obviously the Knicks are in a good spot. We said it earlier, 82% success rate for the team that wins game five. And the Knicks are in the driver's seat. Only have to win one out of these next two games. If it was to become a game seven, obviously things will get tight. But it is in Madison Square Garden. So that's the beauty of getting home court advantage. Play in front of your home crowd, and then we go from there.
Yeah, man. And look, every team has taken care of home court, but something's got to give, right? And I think this is the time to do it. Game six, yes, Indy's going to be loud. It's not going to be as loud as MSG, but it's going to be loud nonetheless. You know, they're going to be amped up. We got to match that energy in game six. And I'm just confident, man, especially how and look, don't get me wrong. You know, look how the Knicks came out in game five after a blowout. I'm sure the Pacers are going to try to, you know, return the favor. But if the Knicks play anything like they played in game five, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. And I feel confident we're going to come out on top.
Latoria in the chat, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, says, I like that Brunson didn't celebrate. He was all about business in that post-game presser. Man knows the job ain't done, and I like that he knows. Yeah, he said, look, one thing I know about a playoff series is that these games don't carry over to the next game. Just take a look at game three. Knicks lost on a Hail Mary shot. Game four, Knicks got blown out. Kind of nervous a little bit. Knicks fans were kind of like, oh, we don't know. Some Knicks fans, I'm not saying all. Game five, Knicks, the resilient bunch that they are, they feed off MSG crowd. They were more the more physical team. Dante was balling out. Brunson, Hartenstein, Deuce, Precious, though he had an underrated game too. We win game five after the game. It's all business. Still got work to be done. But it's going to be fun down in Indiana. Tough place to play. They haven't lost, obviously, since March 18th down there. So Friday night, I think the game is at 8:30 now. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle, man. It's going to be a battle. But again, all the pressure is on the Pacers. It's win or go home for them.
Yeah.
Pressure breaks pipes, right? Like they say. So, I mean, if it's a close game late, I'm sure the Pacers are going to be tight and probably prone to making mistakes. So I like the Knicks' chances, man. I can't wait.
I see a lot of people in the chat bringing up Boston is beatable. Guys, let's get there first. And then obviously Chris and I will break down everything. but we need one more win. And then we can talk about our next matchup. But we need one more win. This series is not over yet. Obviously, we feel good about it. And when we get there, we will talk about that matchup and our thoughts about that matchup. Got a poll in the chat. Says Knicks in blank 6 or 7. 91% of the time. 91%, excuse me. Knicks in 6. 23 votes. How many people are in here? 71 people in the chat. Hit the thumbs up button. Appreciate every single one of you joining us here tonight. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. Chris, Tom Thibodeau. I want to talk about Thibs. Thibs has been getting slings and arrows, right, from the national media over these last few games. Minutes.
What haven't they said about Thibs at this point, right? And it's like, it's all recycled. It's all recycled stigmas from the past. Plays players too many minutes, you know? Doesn't make adjustments.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody saw game 5, they clearly see that's not true. But, you know, why do you think it is that the Knicks, and specifically Tom Thibodeau, just cannot shake, like, the media just does not want to see us succeed? You know, they hate to say that Thibs is a good coach. All he's done is win for this team and make us better, you know, instill the culture that, look, a few years back, the Knicks were like a laughingstock. Mm-hmm. And now here we are, you know, one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. And the media just refuses to give us props, man. And especially Tom Thibodeau. They just, they resort to the lazy, you know, Knicks for click stuff. Oh, he plays this guy too many minutes. JB is hurt because of him. He's playing him too much. You know, how can you? And former players at that have actually played more minutes than, you know, guys like JB and whatnot in their heyday in the playoffs. So, like, I don't get it, man. But, you know, go ahead. I mean, it just pisses me off, man.
You get it.
It's like,
no, don't say you don't get it. You get it.
I don't get it because, like, simply because of the, you know, I'm rational, right? You look at what the proof is, what we're doing as a team. One game away from the Eastern Conference Final, second seed at that. Why can't you just say something nice?
Because the cool thing is to hate on the Knicks. That is the cool thing. The Knicks haven't seen success. Obviously, last year was a great year as well. But the cool thing has been to rag on the Knicks organization, franchise, coach. People already just don't like Tom Thibodeau for whatever reason. And that's just them trying to form their own narrative. But what I've been trying to say, what I've been like kind of preaching is, as long as Knicks fans and everyone in this room and every Knicks fan around the globe and you and I, Chris, we know the real picture. Like, people that are in this from the start, from the thick and thin, know that Tom Thibodeau built a culture here, know that the players love playing for Tom Thibodeau, knows that Leon Rose in the front office got players that fit Tom Thibodeau's style of play, fit his mold, and the proof is in the pudding. I mean, we're one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, job not done with all of our injuries, right? And I thought Stan Mangini, although most of the time in the broadcast he was kind of Pacers bias, he's kind of on the side of Indiana. I thought to close the game, he actually fired off about people pretty much talking crap about Tom Thibodeau, saying that needs to stop. And he gave examples. Look, Chuck and Shaq have been all up in the media talking their crap, and I even brought up their minutes. I think Charles Barkley averaged like 44 minutes in his finals run. Shaq, from it was like a 5-year stretch where he averaged 42, 43 minutes a game in the NBA playoffs. So this is the playoffs. Dudes play. And last year, what was the problem with Thibs last year versus the Heat? People didn't really make the adjustments, right?
Yeah. They said he didn't make adjustments, that when he made them, it was too late, you know? And look, what do we see in game 5? You know?
This entire playoffs.
Deuce McBride. Inserts Deuce McBride. Brings pressures off the bench. Completely flipped the script, you know? You had Deuce McBride setting screens for JB, getting him the favorable matchup. Those are adjustments. Those are all adjustments, you know? What happened when after Miles Turner hit the three-point shots back-to-back-to-back? Timeout. Tibbs probably got right on Ihar and told him, what are you doing? Stop dropping. Press up on this man. Boom. You saw Ihar. Or even at that, for instance, he put Precious in the game so Precious could follow Miles Turner and Ihar could stay in the paint. That's adjustments, ladies and gentlemen. That narrative is just lazy.
Lazy narrative. They want to fit their agenda. It's performative. It's what it is. Performative. Yeah. Yeah. So Draymond Green again. Like, I don't even want to spend too much time on it, but we bring it up Thibs because obviously this season we've seen a different Thibs. The Knicks have adjusted really well. First round they adjusted to the 76ers. This round they've kind of obviously with the Deuce inserted into the starting lineup, and it's due to injuries too. Look, we've got a ton of injuries.
Yeah.
And ton of injuries. Like, it's crazy how many injuries we have. And other teams would have punted and just been like, all right, we don't have enough. It is what it is. We'll see you next season. But I just wanted to bring this up. This was from today. The Knicks are preparing to offer Tom Thibodeau a long-term extension this offseason, approaching $10 million annually to remain the head coach of the New York Knicks. That is from Shams Charania. Thibodeau will be entering the final year of his contract next season. So, Chris, we knew that was coming. Obviously, coming into this season, it was a question, would the Knicks extend Tom Thibodeau? No matter what side are you on? I know a lot of people don't like him. And look, a lot of Knicks fans didn't like him before the season as well. But now you just cannot, like, I mean, you can't deny it.
Yeah. So look, and I was one of those on that boat, you know. It was like, look, I love Thibs. I love what he's done for us. But there was always that question lingering in the back of my head, you know. Thibs gets you to a certain point, and then you always got to move on and get somebody else to get you over the hump, right? Nah, yeah. I think look, at first, yeah, you could say maybe Thibs doesn't make adjustments or whatever, but one thing you got to give him credit is that he's learning from mistakes. If he makes a mistake, he learns from it. Usually, he doesn't do the same mistake twice, right? So this season, what are we seeing? Way more adjustments in the playoffs. And another thing that, you know, the media refuses to give credit or even acknowledge is the fact that we're missing guys like Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, Bogdanovich, you know, and a lot of these guys for the majority of the season. For not only a coach, but the players themselves to be able to play at the level that they're playing at and secure a 2 seed and go and get 1 game from the Eastern Conference Finals. That's all coaching and culture. So come on, man. If there's any coach out there that deserves an extension, it's Thibs.
Yeah. And look at some of these coaches, like what they've been getting over these last couple of years. So Thibs will get the bag and it's much deserved. Obviously, I mean, yeah. Newsflash. It's mustard jokes, man. I love Thibs. Big Body Thibs. Can we call Thibs Big Body Thibs? Like Kendrick Perkins says Big Body Brunson.
I want to give a shout out to Chris Haynes as well for, I don't know if anybody peeped it, but he gave Tracy Morgan the mic, and Tracy Morgan let Draymond have a piece of his mind, basically telling him, don't be talking about my New York Knicks, man. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Basically, shut him up. Tony says, Knicks got to go into Indiana like it's game 7 and take care of that game. The way we win this game is attack the basket, rebound, and defend the perimeter and keep Burks in and then deuce on Haliburton. Yeah, I mean, obviously what we saw game 5 is the Knicks attacking. Pacers. Yeah. They kind of played the Pacers game because what the Pacers have been doing is attacking the Knicks on the defensive end. And the Knicks kind of combated that and attacked the Pacers. Buzzer Beard with the Super Chat. Appreciate you. What's good? How do we stop Turner? McConnell. How do we stop Miles Turner or TJ McConnell?
I think we saw a little bit of that in game five. Look, I know the Pacers are going to get shots off, especially Turner. What they like to do with Turner is, like, he'll kind of lag behind when they push the ball up, and he just waits until he gets that wide open three at the top because they know Ihard's going to, you know, dive into the paint. So we saw a little bit of it. They had Precious kind of shadow Miles Turner after he hit those back-to-back-to-back threes, and that was his assignment. It was Precious, you stick to this guy and don't move, basically. So as far as Turner, I think we'll see more of that. And, yeah, man, I mean, with the again, now having Burks out there, I think it gives us a lot more flexibility. And who knows if we do get OG Anunoby back. You know, I think that's a piece of the puzzle, too, if he can get out there. But what are your thoughts on slowing down this Pacers team?
McConnell, I'm not worried about McConnell. He's just going to continue to attack the Knicks. He's been attacking our guards. Didn't really have a good game in game five. I think the Knicks were kind of like over McConnell's shenanigans. Obviously, yeah. I thought you saw John Starks was like laughing at McConnell, and him and Dante was going at it, and Dante was like, come on, this guy. So I'm not worried about McConnell, but Turner, he can get hot in a blink, but Turner can also be cold in a blink. Yeah. Like the same, like he can get hot, obviously. And he did in that, you know, stretch of what is it, like 2 to 3 minutes to open up the second half. He three straight threes. Obviously, we don't need that. That can't happen. But more of the same, Isaiah Hartenstein, stay up on your man. And I think, obviously, they'll make some adjustments regarding that. And they're going to want to get Turner more involved. But I think, you know, regarding what also, like I said it in the post game, the Knicks went small. And that also forced them to kind of feed the ball to Siakam. Slowing down their pace a little bit. Siakam has been efficient, but it's really slowing down their pace at the same time. So Josh Hart, can't eat size, kind of struggling a bit on Siakam. But, hey, maybe that's the Knicks' game plan. Just let Siakam do his thing. Let him turn the ball over. Let him do his spin moves. Let him shoot threes. So
that's true. I didn't even really think about it at the time, but definitely, like you mentioned, when Siakam catches the ball and he wants to ISO, he wants to post up Josh Hart, you know, that takes off time off the clock. And he's trying to work for that, you know, get to his comfort zone and then pull up for a turnaround jumper. So if you have Siakam do that, you know, take 10, 15 shots like that, you're just hoping you're outscoring them on the other end and basically locking everybody else up. So that could very well be the game plan, you know, because it does slow down the Pacers tremendously in that sense.
What's going on, Mike Woods? Appreciate you in here. He says, what's up, guys? Look, I love the idea of OG coming back, but I think we should save him as long as we keep winning. Deuce coming into the lineup changed everything, and AB is healthy. Yeah, Burks is healthy. Deuce stepped up in game five. OG Anunoby, we spoke about it briefly, but you know, if he's healthy, he's going to play. I don't think the Knicks will play that game of, oh, we'll wait a couple of days. If we win, you know, we'll give him more days off for the Eastern Conference Finals. If he's healthy, he's going to play. It's just a matter of, you know, getting him to that point. And it's looking like he's progressing. So that's a good sign. LV says, great show, boys. Big time win last night. What's going on, LV? Yes. Appreciate you in here. Mike says, people don't know the struggle we've been through as a fan. I used to watch Muchie Norris bring the ball up for us. You do not know my pain. I used to cry after every loss, punching the TV screen. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know how many point guards we went through to get to this point, to Jalen Brunson. So those that are calling this a fluke, I don't even want to entertain it. I don't even want to entertain it, Chris.
I just don't understand how you can call it a fluke when, you know, look, JB has shown this already now, back-to-back seasons. And not only that, getting better and better each season. But look, it's not only JB, it's the team as a whole. You know, this team is just, they're fighters, man. They're fighters. No team suffering the amount of injuries that we had should be where we're at. But here we are, one game again. Sound like a broken record. One game away from the Eastern Conference Finals.
Look, we had to deal with David Fizdale,
Jeff Hornacek, Derek Fisher.
Guys,
I would say Mike Woodson, but I actually like Mike Woodson a lot. Felt like he got a raw deal.
I love Woody.
I love Woody. Woody, man.
He was awesome. So, but look, that's why Dibs is going to get that bag, and he deserves that bag. Buzzer Beater says, what was iHeart's adjustment to get more rebounds? So, Buzzer Beater with another super chat. Appreciate you, Buzzer Beater. So, what was iHeart's adjustment to get more rebounds? Look, Pacers, they just simply looked like they were shook. Isaiah Hartenstein was obviously crashing the boards like he normally does. And I just feel like it was just more of like a will. Like, I'm going to grab this offensive rebound and you cannot stop me. And the Pacers, they do a terrible job boxing out. They were one of the worst defensive rebounding teams in the NBA. And it showed in game five. And that's not by design. So compile that with Hartenstein's will to grab offensive rebounds. Pacers, not so much. That's where you get that.
And again, I say the adjustments by Tibbs. Because again, I feel like by Tibbs putting pressures on Miles Turner, kind of allowed iHeart to be more in the paint, you know, not have to worry about running out to the perimeter and thus being in position to grab them boards, you know. But like you said, I think it was just, no pun intended, we had more heart. iHeart had heart. Went out there and just was a demon on the boards.
Demon. So, yeah. Adjustments, and obviously Isaiah Hartenstein is just a beast. Like I said earlier, he just grabbed another rebound. As we're recording this, he just grabbed another rebound.
He's securing that bag for sure, man. He's going to get paid.
John, appreciate you in the chat. Says, smash the like button for the fellas. Knicks Nation stand up. Appreciate you in here. John, from Still Knicks fans, appreciate you in here. But, Ortiz says, I think if Thibs puts Isaiah Hartenstein on Siakam and Achiuwa on Turner, it might be a good matchup because of Achiuwa's athleticism and iHeart is a little slower. He actually did that in the fourth. Yep. And sometimes in this series, he put another thing. There was a time after the time, like it was a timeout break, where the Pacers ran a play for, I think it was Siakam, and the Knicks put Hartenstein on him, threw them off, missed a shot. I think they turned the ball over or something like that. But it's just things like that. It's like, okay, Thibs, playing chess out there.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah, so, you gotta throw different looks at these guys because, you know, creatures of habit, right? You see the same thing. If they're having success, they're going to expect it. You know, he probably thought he was going to have Josh Hart on him. And bam, iHeart. And he's like, oh, wait a second. This is not what I expected. But, yeah, look, again, further proof, right, that Tibbs is making adjustments. And this team is on another level, man.
This team is on another level. NBA University says Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson have run a combined 70 in-game miles so far this postseason. They are number one and number two in miles run individually. Their gas tanks getting pushed to the maximum. And then roommate show quote tweeted that and said, dogs. I thought in game five, I know he had a good game, but to start the game, Josh Hart still looked a little fatigued, turning the ball over some, but finished the game great. So obviously Josh Hart has been amazing. I thought the play of, one of my favorite plays in game five was him shooting a three and grabbing his own rebound and putting it back.
Yeah, that literally like summarized his entire game to a T. You know, a little bit hesitant to shoot the three, missed the three, got his own board, put it right back. Should have been an and one at that. Yeah. So, you know, look, he had me kind of nervous that game as well because he had a few really bad turnovers. It looks like, you know, start. Josh Hart every game seems to have one of these like crazy turnovers. In game five, he had like a couple. But look, everybody on this Knicks squad, like for all the energy they brought out, I know they got to be tired, man. They're only human. But again, it goes to show you, you know, they wanted it more. They wanted it more than the Pacers did. And they went out there and proved it. And you got to give all the credit to this team, man. They're leaving it all on the court. And then some.
Knicks with the most 40-plus point playoff games. Bernard King, with 7, Jalen Brunson with 6, Carmelo Anthony with 2, Patrick Ewing with 2. It's only 2 seasons of Jalen Brunson. I mean, we've talked about it earlier in the pod, what he's doing with a bad foot. I mean, Naismith can't guard him. Nembhard definitely can't guard him. Pacers can't guard him. So nobody can guard him, really, if you think about it. And he's adjusting. Pacers threw double teams at him a lot, and especially late in the game. And the Knicks, they were ready for those double teams.
Yeah.
There was a play where Hart cut to the basket, gave it to Precious Achiuwa down low. Jalen Brunson sees a double team. Deuce is open for the 3. We're ready for it. Yeah. We're ready for it. It's the greatness of JB, Chris.
Yeah, shout out to JB, because you nailed it with the double teams, right?
Yeah.
That's an area that's underlooked when it comes to Jalen Brunson. You know, in the past, when he would get those double teams, he'd be like, you know, confused. He wouldn't know what to do. Usually it would be a turnover. But JB's gotten better. As soon as you see them trying to start a double team, the ball's out of his hands. So look, credit to JB, man. I mean, what more can you say about him at this point? He's our MVP.
He's awesome. Venom says that Josh Hart put back with straight schoolyard play. Yeah, I mean, that the Pacers, I mean, they should have been embarrassed for that play. He shot his 3. He knew it was off. Put it back. But somebody said Dante will show up on Friday. I actually thought he showed up in game 5. Yeah. It was, to me, I said it on the post game, incredible game from Dante. Didn't show up in the box score, but the putback dunks, the physicality after the game, the quote from here from Dante. So, Chris, I thought Dante had an amazing game 5.
No, he did. Not only did he bring the physicality, not only did he stand up to these Pacers, to their face, you know, obviously all of that brings the energy. Look, he shot 4 of 14. I got the box score up right here. He was 4 of 14, 0 of 6 from 3-point. But 3 offensive boards for Devo, 4 boards in total. I mean, sorry, 7 boards in total, 4 assists, 3 steals, and a huge block that had.
Can't forget about that.
That block. Come on. That block was ridiculous. I think it was on who? Turner? I think swatted Turner or Siakam. So. One of them.
But yeah.
It was a big. He had no business being up there for a block, and he got it. So Devo was there. He wasn't there maybe offensively like we would expect him to, but yeah, if I had a guess, next game he's going off.
Yeah, Devo. Look, I love, so when the Knicks get physical and they get the crowd involved, it gets me so pumped up. Like I'm like, let's go, let's go. But yeah, this is a quote from Devo. They were trying to be tough guys. That's not their identity. Nobody's going to fight in the NBA. Take the foul, keep it moving. You are not a tough guy. Just keep it moving. Obviously, the little, you know, fight with Dante and Miles Turner, and obviously got the crowd involved. But yeah, I thought Dante played a great game 5, and obviously. He was playing a great first couple of games. In game 3, he was absolutely incredible. And I think he will have a big game 6 leading into a Knicks win.
Same.
Then here are the legends in MSG showing up, supporting the guys. Tim Thomas, Herb Williams, Patrick Ewing, Clyde Frazier, Bill Bradley, Stephon Marbury, Wilson Chandler, John Starks, Spree. Kylo Quinn.
Shout out Kylo Quinn. Let's go.
Like, he just wants to get a piece of, you know, the action. For O'Quinn to be like, look, shout out to O'Quinn. Obviously, he's a funny, goofy guy. But and then Houston, Larry Johnson, and Carmelo. All in the garden supporting the guys. And JB says he absolutely loves the support from the Knicks alumni.
Yeah, yo, check it out. Kylo Quinn, native and born in Queens, man.
There you go.
He's a Knicks fan. He's
Queens.
Out there.
Queens in the house.
I love that, though. I love the support. You know, like a lot of people want to say that's, oh, it's just a little, you know, spectacle Knicks are throwing out there. Nah, man, these guys are actually out there cheering. Did you see John Starks grab up TJ McConnell in game five?
Yeah, I saw that. John Starks.
I love it, man. He's crazy, man. He's crazy.
I love it. Yeah, John says it was on Pascal. Yeah, it was on Siakam, the block. So there you go. There you go. Ortiz says everybody that showed up in game five has to show up Friday, including Devo, all hands on deck, because they're coming with everything. Yeah. Look, one game. That's all we need. One game. Wrap it up. Game six. Get it done. I think the Knicks will get it done. Obviously, Celtics wrapped up their series, but we still need to wrap up ours. We still got work to do. It is not over, but I think they will be focused in game six. And ultimately, I think they're going to win that game in Indiana and send the Pacers home. That's my prediction for game six.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So that's, we just got to get the window.
My prediction. I always said Knicks in six, but look, like it was mentioned, Pacers are not going to lay down. Mm-hmm. You know, they're desperate at this point. It's win or go home for them. But again, pressure is all on them. Not saying that the Knicks are, you know, going to take it easy or anything like that. Knicks, I'm sure, with 2 days of rest, they want to finish this. They want to close it out, game six. You know, you saw it at the end of game five. Nobody was smiling on that bench, up 30. They're focused. They're ready to work on. They were ready to put that behind them and get to work on the game plan for game six. So
I who's can't wait. Factor for game six? Who are you calling it? Playing your flag on somebody that's gonna will us to a victory. Those in the chat, you can give your X factor for game six as well. I'll get mine. Go ahead.
I'm gonna go Deuce McBride. McBride. Yeah. Because look, it's no secret. Pacers are trying to get the ball out of JB's hands, and Deuce showed in game five. Man, you know, give him a few shots, he's gonna knock him down, and then opens up the floor for everything else. Right? Yeah. They're gonna have to either you can't just double JB all game. These guys can all make shots, but I think Miles McBride, obviously freeing up JB to get favorable matchups, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, I was going to go Deuce too because, you know, we were missing his offensive punch and we got it in game five, but I really think if we can get that, especially if they're going to, I think they're going to double team. You're going to expect a lot of double teams from the Pacers in game six, but I really think, obviously, if Deuce can hit his threes, they're going to dare him to shoot and they're going to make someone else beat them. Because at some point, they're just going to get tired of Jalen Brunson shooting and beating them every possession. So I think they're just going to ultimately say, look, leave Hart open, leave Deuce. But, hey, the Knicks can combat that, and I think they will. So, yeah, Chris and I say Deuce McBride is our X factor. All right, Chris, you ready for some trivia? Let's do it.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Ready? Seymour.
Yes.
Seymour in the chat says, Alec Burks is my X factor. If he keeps contributing off the bench, we good.
That's true.
Big money AB. Love that guy. He's back. All right, Chris. Thought this question would obviously is fitting. Because obviously the Knicks are one game away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. So in the 2000 Eastern Conference semifinals, the Knicks beat the Heat 4-2. They won that series to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. In their closeout game down in Miami, who had the most points? Was it A? Is it A, Latrell Sprewell? B, Allen Houston? C, Chris Childs? Or D, Patrick Ewing?
Damn, that's a good question. I think
this game was down in Miami. Yeah, it was at Miami. The Knicks won 83-82. You want me to read the final scores for this whole series? It's crazy. Game one, 83-87. Game two, 82-76. Game three, in overtime, they lost 76-77. None of these games hit over 100. Obviously, you know,
that's just pure defense.
Yeah, So I'm close out game. Game seven.
I'm ruling out Chris Childs right off the bat. Because I feel like Spree, Houston, and Ewing would all be, you know, scores. If I go purely based on that, I'm seeing a lot of B's, A, B, C, B. That's even the chat is mixed up right now. I see a lot of B's though. I see two A's. Okay. I see Omar saying A.
You gotta go with your gut, man. Final score 83-82. Down in Miami.
I'm leaning towards Ewing. You know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to go D, Patrick Ewing.
D, Patrick Ewing. Is that your final answer?
I'm seeing a lot of B's.
Oh, that's your final answer. Just say final answer.
You know what? I'm going to go with Omar. The answer is A. I just chose some random letter. There we go. I'm going with A. Wow, I'm going with what Omar said.
You changed the answer on the fly. All right. So yeah, your first one was what? B? Houston?
My first one was I was going to go with Patrick Ewing. D.
Patrick Ewing? Okay. So in this game, Patrick Ewing had 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 of 10 from the field.
That has to be the most in you said the score was 80-81.
Chris Childs had 15 points, 4-10 from the field. Allen Houston had 5 points, 2-10 from the
five
field.
5 points?
Yeah, I know, right? Struggled. Wow. The struggle game. Latrell Sprewell, that's your answer?
That's my answer.
24 points. Let's 8-20 from the field. 7-7 from the free throw line. 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 20 field goal attempts.
Shout out to Omar and Rasta who said A in the chat. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, that was a big game from Sprewell. Obviously, the Knicks won that series against the Miami Heat heading into the Eastern Conference Finals. I thought that would be fitting considering where we are at right now. So, Latrell Sprewell.
That was dope. Yeah, I definitely was going to get that wrong, sticking with D.
Yeah, Seymour says Latrell. Who else saw Latrell in the chat? Mets, Knicks fans, let's go, said Latrell. Who else saw Latrell? Rasta said Latrell. There we go. So
Appreciate y'all.
Fun little question. JP says, I just guessed with hope. Houston with 5 points.
That's surprising. Yeah. That's surprising. Chris Childs dropped 15 and Houston only had 5. Yeah. I mean, no slight on Chris Childs. I liked him too as a player.
Yeah. Spree got us there. Yeah. And you know who was on that team, Chris?
Who's that?
Who did not play and was on the team. Did not play. Think hard about it.
I checked out, man, after I got the answer right.
Rick Brunson was on that team. Did not play.
Wow.
Obviously. But, yeah, Rick Brunson, Chris Dudley, John Wallace, Camby was off the bench. Childs, Kurt Thomas. The starting five was Sprewell, Houston, Larry Johnson, Ewing, and Charlie Ward.
That's a squad right there, man.
Sprewell with 46 minutes.
Yeah.
Blame Thibs.
Yeah. That's Thibs' fault, too.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That was a squad, man.
Rasta said Houston was hurt. Yeah, I thought he was obviously dealing with his knee stuff. So, yeah, Houston with 5 points. But, yeah, there's your little Knicks. So, you got it right. There we go.
Thanks to the chat. Appreciate y'all.
Mike says, Rick Brunson was on that team. Did not play, but he was on that team. full circle. The Knicks, that closeout game, they advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals with Rick Brunson on the team. And obviously, on Friday, the Knicks have a chance to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals with his son, Jalen Brunson.
That's
funny
insane.
How that works out, right?
That's crazy. Insane. Hey, man, I'm just, like you said, full circle. I'm just happy Jalen Brunson is on this team. Shout out to the Dallas Mavericks for not, signing him when he requested.
Yes, shout out to the Dallas Mavericks. Arcus, anything else you wanted to touch on before we head up on out of here? Before we head up on out of here, anything else you wanted to touch on?
No, man, I can't wait for game six. Like I said, in my opinion, this is a must win for the Knicks. Two days of rest, you know, give it all you got, and then close it out in Indy. All the pressure's on Indy. We got to go out there. And look, I have no doubt Knicks are going to go out there, give their all. But game six, I feel like we're going to close it out in Indy.
Let's do it. Knicks in six. As you can see in the chat, I gifted some memberships. If you want to support the channel, you can do so by becoming a member. As you see, Mike is a member. Appreciate you, Mike, for becoming a member for as low as $2.99 or $5.99 a month. Obviously, you get some perks with that. You can support us here at Knicks Nation. And we love doing this. We love doing this. And also got an autograph read for you guys. So autograph is where real fans get unreal rewards. By bringing the best content for your team into one place, Autograph is the first app that can recognize and reward fans, turning their passion into access and experiences. Get all your sports content in one place. So obviously the Knicks Nation podcast is on the Autograph app as well as a lot more Knicks content creators. So use the code NYK to get access to the Autograph app. The link is in the bio. All the links are in the bio. So yeah, this was fun. Episode 53 in the books.
Let's go.
Knicks in six.
Knicks in six. We're one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. We're going to wrap it up. And Boston. Nah, let me not get ahead of myself.
Oh, calm down, Chris.
I'm sorry. I got worked up there.
Let's go.
Knicks in six.
Knicks in six. Let's get it done on Friday. I'm Anthony from Knicks Nation.
I'm Chris.
We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.